Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in Matthew chapter number 7 this morning. I'm pondering this message yesterday and I'm pulling weeds. I do something like mow the grass, something I don't have to think about, Jerry. I'm just doing something and I've got 2 points and I'm looking for something else and I'm thinking at this time maybe this is all I'm going to do, just preach a couple, but I was wanting something sweet to tag it with because it's a little bit rough. And so I reached down in there and I couldn't see and there's a bunch of leaves down in the flower bed and I'm flinging them out and I stuck my hand down in there and I got stung. And I looked and I couldn't find it. Finally, I raked some more back and this yellow wasper flew away. I wish I'd have caught him before he flew. Delmer wouldn't kill waspers. I'll kill every one of them. Amen. It's part of the curse. They've got stingers they used to not have. And he got away from me. And my thumb didn't swell up too bad, but I know that he stung me. So I got my third point when he stung me. Matthew 7, verse number 1. I'm going to read about 5 verses. If you found that, shout amen. Amen. Judge not that you be not judged. Lost people's favorite verse in the Bible. If they don't know any other verse, they know this one. And use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. It's the 2 verses in the Bible that lost people know. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Father, I love you. Thank you for this day, this time, this place, this opportunity. It's good to be in the Lord's house. I love you. I praise you. I ask you, God, to fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me with accuracy inside the bounds of the writ. Touch hearts. Give us ears to hear this with, Lord. I have come with no stones in my pockets. I'm going to deliver the word that you've given to me. You help me preach it, God. And the word will not return void, but it'll accomplish that which is pleasing unto you. Have your way, Holy Ghost. I'll praise you for all you do. I give you all honor and glory. I ask it in my King's name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. I'll just use this one. I've got to explain this briefly. And I'm going to give you some things the Lord laid on my heart. The Pharisees had a real problem here. Jesus is telling them, judge, don't do the judging. Now there's judicial judgment. There's some things that's necessary to be judged. But he's speaking to Christians that's looking at other people of God. Are you with me? So, judge is the word in the Greek, krino, krino. It means to decide, condemn, or punish. Decide, condemn, or punish. Now, we don't have that ability. It's not in us. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. He said to love your enemy, and to even pray for them that despitefully use you. He said to love them and curse not. I mean, there's a
there's a great expectation placed upon the people of God. We're not like everybody else. Though we're the same mud, we're saved by the same grace. Praise God. Listen, we're sealed by the same Spirit, all those things being the same. But as far as the outside world, we're supposed to be better, not personally, not humanly, but better spiritually than the world. There's an expectation placed upon us. If we're supposed to be that to the world, how much more to the brethren? He said, you want to condemn? You want to decide? You want to condemn? You want to punish? Then that's what will happen to you. They said something bad about me. Pray for them. They kicked my dog. Bite a bone. I can't believe that somebody would do that to me. I can't believe they didn't do it. You see, when we get right down to this, he's speaking of this, the judgment to be unfavorable or unjust or unreasonable. Now, he's speaking specifically at this time. This is a Jewish audience in Matthew. He's speaking specifically to some people we know as Pharisees and scribes. They're the ones that had the greatest problem with this. Their judgment was unreasonable. They'd tell you if you didn't wash 15 times, I think some of them said it was up to 14 times before you sat down to a meal, then listen, you was blaspheming God. You was against the Lord. You wasn't following the Lord. That we would call that today legalism. If your ox got in a ditch, now they'd pull that out, but if they saw you do it, then they're going to be unreasonable in their judgment and tell you how wrong you are for what you done. So the judgment, it was a real issue with the Jews and those around them, especially in the temple area. But they could buy diseased animals. They would offer God annas and cumin. They would offer herbs is what it is. They could offer herbs and get by with it. They could curse their mother and father and make a little gift and say, well, they're not getting the money. We're going to give it to the church. They'd keep it and give, or to the temple, and they'd give something that wasn't worth near as much. I think that's, boy, tears on the altar, that's a blessing. I think that's a problem in the modern church, is that we've been taught that, look here, it's a party. It's the opposite of a party, it's a war. It's a war. You look at Christ, you look at the early church, you look what they went through, what they endured, what they had to overcome, and then you look around today and you see this name it and claim it crowd, and we're not going to have any problems. Listen, you know why that song speaks to us so strongly? Because all of us have been through a storm. And when we get to the place that we can thank God for the storm, friend, we are moving up spiritually. Is anybody with me? So we see what the judgment was and who it was for and who it was to and what it was. It was just unreasonable judgment. He said, if that's the way you judge, you look at other people with that, that's what I'll let you have. You know, Paul wrote about it in Galatians. He said, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You plant it and it'll come up. Let me use a sports analogy. If you've got a T-ball team and this kid hits the ball and runs to third base every time, and you say, worst player on the team. He ought to know by now that when you knock that ball off that tee, you run to first base. He might be dyslexic. He may not know his right from his left. And his mom and daddy's needing a little encouragement, and some goofball, is sitting up in there and stands and saying, "Don't you know you run to first base?" No, he don't know. He doesn't know where he'd run to first base. Hello? "Don't you know that you've been saved this long, you shouldn't do that?" Hey, listen, they may not know. I remember Paul writing this, Tommy, that the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That means there's some that's going to have some help along the way. "And ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted." Listen, if you're not spiritual, don't be trying to restore them, and certainly don't you try to tear them down. We're never more like the devil when we criticize the brethren. So I don't like that. Take it up with the Lord. You know what? He has seven things. Pride topped the list. Hates pride. But you know what's in that? Sowing discord among the brethren. God's got a real problem with that. So we got the world out here judging us for everything we do. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. I make more mistakes than anybody in the building. I probably pray more than anybody in this room too. I'd say I do. I've laid, I've cried, I've prayed, I've chewed, I've eaten the cud, I've begged God about this, I begged him to break me like a little boy preaching this message today. If you think this is out of arrogance or pride or anything in me, you are dead wrong, friend. I promise you, my intent is not to hurt anyone. My intent is to help this church. The intent, God knows the intent of my heart. My intent is to help this church. And I'm not doing it so we'd be known as the best church in Crossville. That's not my intent. My intent is not so we'll be the biggest church in Crossville. That's not my intent. My intent is so we'll be the happiest church in Crossville. When we come in to worship, we're walking 3 foot high. I mean, somebody, I'm going to tell you, we come over here Friday night. Sister Verena came and played piano for us. Gordon was playing bass, Tommy guitar, and I've got me a drummer. You're never going to believe it. Ivan Barnes. Pray that he gets a day job on Sundays. He has to work every Sunday morning. He said, "It's been 20 years since I played drums." I said, "I just believe it's going to be all right." We got to playing. Gordon told me, I'm telling on you, Gordon. Gordon said, "I never heard Verena play like that before." It got good in here. It got good. It was sweet. I'm telling you, we were happy. Three things. I know it's 10 to 12. You'll be out of here at 20 after. If you need to leave before then, you are excused. Won't hurt my feelings. You know what the Pharisees was doing? They were looking on the outside. Here's what God said in 1 Samuel 16. Here's what he said about that. He said, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. See, it's from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." So if we're saying wrong things to people, being discouraging instead of encouraging, there's a heart problem. Number one, I'm preaching on this thought, toothpicks and tubifores. Toothpicks is a little bitty thing compared to a tubifore. And he said, "How are you going to get the mote out of his eye if you don't get the beam out of your own eye. Number one, this is a little unusual. Motive plus action equals work. Motive, the reason we do things, plus action equals work. I'm going to read it, and I'll read it quick. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. In other words, you do it whether I'm there or not. But now much more in my absence. You're doing more when I'm gone than I was, than you were when I was there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here's why. For it is God which worketh in us, you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, pleasing unto God. What is that? That's when you are working out your salvation. Randall Farner's is a different, that's the same salvation, but it's his work may be in another area. You can't work out what God's not put in. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. In other words, they can't say anything bad about you. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. There's the object. That is what God wants us to do. Shine as lights in the world. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I read this Wednesday night, and it's worth a second look. Verse 20 of Colossians, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it. We're working. Look here. Motive. What's our motive? Well, that's the reason. What's the reason? Why are we here? The motive. So you're here because we pay you to work? No. Listen. You pay me to pastor, I preach for free. The motive plus your action. What's that? Whatsoever God's put upon our heart to do. That equals the work that God would have us do. What is that? Well, watch this. What's that got to do with toothpicks and two-by-fours? That's when I sit here and I look at Gordon and say, I could have taught a better Sunday school class than you did, buddy. I could not have. He taught me this morning something I've never seen in the book. Never. I've never seen that, Jimmy. You know why I know it now? Because I was at Sunday school today. And I know it. And you know what had to happen in order for him to teach me that? He had to put his nose in the books, in that book and in other studies, and spend time in there. And he done that, and we don't pay him a dime. You know why he done that? So he could feed his preacher. So with all the Sunday school teachers in this church, with all, not just Gordon, but I'm just in his class. So here we have motive plus action. The right action, it'll equal the work God has for you to do. When we're doing that, we're not concerned about the mote in Richard's eye. We're doing our work. We're doing our work. Number two, I'll hurry. It's going right here, it's going to get real quiet and tight. Pretty tight right now. Mood plus aggravation equals wrong. So there's a problem here with this guy. And the Lord said, hey, how come you looking at your brother? Well, we would say probably something he done aggravated us. I mean, something, he might not have known better, or he might have. Listen, in John, motive plus action equals work. Mood plus aggravation equals wrong. So, obviously the mood was that the guy with the mote had something wrong with him, and he was aggravated about it, and he's going to get it out of his eye. Now, we do that in the church world today, denominationally. Oh, they bash on the Pentecostals because they do unusual things. And they bash on the Free Will Baptists because we're not Calvinist. And they bash on the Calvinists because they're not Armenian. And everybody's bashing everybody, and the world's going, ha, these guys can't get it together. Something wrong with them. That's exactly right. And when the mood, what's in the mind, added to aggravation will equal wrong every time. Here's what Peter said about John in John 21:21. Jesus said, hey, Peter, you follow me. He said, what about this guy? What shall this guy do? Jesus told him in a few short words, don't you worry about that guy, you follow me. What is it to you? Listen, whatever I do with him, I'll do. You follow me. I think Peter got the picture. Because he done that. He followed him. Then we talked about this morning. Acts 13 and 13, we talked about these men. Paul and Barnabas is out on a missionary journey, and they take John Mark with them. They get to Pamphylia. They're going to go on. John Mark says, I'm going back to the house. And that's not what he said. He said he returned to Jerusalem. He's going back. I'm not going with you guys. It's a little more than I anticipated. I mean, hey, you know, you done battling with the sorcerer. Nobody around here likes us. And it's getting a little hot in the kitchen. I'm going to the living room and put my feet up in the recliner. That's not what he said. Did you get the picture there? About 7 years later, we'll use all over us of that 9 years this morning. About 7 years later, 7 years, 7 years, Paul's carrying this around that John Mark didn't go with him. And you know how I know Paul carried it around? Because when Barnabas said, go get John Mark, I want him to come with us. Paul said, he's not coming. Not that guy. Not that guy. Why? He went back to the house. Why did he go back, Paul? We don't know why he went back. He might have been, he could have been afraid. He might have been worried. He could have been sick. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know this. He didn't go with them. And for 7 years, Paul's burned up about it. And I can prove it by scripture because he said, you're not bringing that guy. And the contention was so strong that Paul went one way and Barnabas went another. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. If the Apostle Paul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles, can hold something against somebody, where does that leave a bunch of knot-headed Baptists? Say, well, I'm not a Free Will Baptist. I just go to this church. You're listening to a Free Will Baptist preacher, so you might as well throw your hat in the ring. Here you are. You don't see what happened then? Years after that, Paul's about to die. You know what he's saying? Go get Mark. Get old John Mark and bring him. Paul's had time to think about it. See, John Mark goes with Barnabas. No telling what that guy done. Those churches you talked about starting in Galilee could have been one of those guys right there. Who knows what he done? I'll tell you what he did do. He wrote that second gospel. You think he wasn't important? And Paul's got an ought against the guy that wrote the second book in the New Testament? What are you saying about all that, preacher? I'm saying this. You can get in the mood and get aggravated and everything you do is wrong and everybody around you can feel it. So you're throwing something at me, preacher. If you're guilty of that, I am. Because I've had to eat this thing for a week. Repented of everything I know to repent of, and some things I didn't even think I needed to repent of. And I'm just telling you, if there's aught you can't do the work God wants you to do with that in your life. Last. So that equals wrong. Now, if we go here, that bee stung me yesterday. And I was wondering about this. And what it brought to my name was mourning. Not mourning as in the next day, but mourning as in, I wish I hadn't got stung. It was hurting. But mourning plus anointing equals worship. That's what the Lord's trying to point out to this guy right here. Watch this. Watch this. Man, I got this yesterday. Some of you already know it, but I'm slow. I'm looking at this Tommy, and you know what I think? Both of them had something in their eye. Oh, yeah. One just had a bigger object in his eye than the other one did, but both of them had something in their eye. You know what it needed to do? It needed to get out. You know how you get it out? Well, by mourning and anointing. Matthew 18 and about 20, 21, here's what Peter said. He's in a big way, and he said, Lord, if my brother sinned against me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times. The Jew in the law was four. Seven times. Now, he's going three over what the law required of him. He thinks he's in good company. And Jesus said, how about 70 times seven? I don't know anybody that's audited or offended me 490 times. Church, if we'll eat this, there ain't nothing the devil. Listen, the devil can't do one thing to you to keep you from coming in here on fire for the cause of Christ. And everybody around you'll feel it. Katie come up and hugged me on the penny march. And Briar saw her. And then here he comes. And he's hugged me two or three times. And Kimber goes, I thought that's what I want right there. That's what I want. I want that. Pure innocence right there. And then after the hugs, it's high fives. Then he come by and high five me. That's what I want right there. Who do you want that with? Everybody in this room. Every single individual in this room, that's what I want. The daddy was moving the office from upstairs to downstairs. And the little boy saw him doing it. And daddy had an armload of books. And daddy was going up and down the stairs with armloads of books. And the little boy said, can I help? His daddy said, sure. And the little boy goes up and he tries to carry as many books as daddy's carrying. And he drops the books all over the stairs, tears some of the books up. It's a mess. The little boy's sitting at the bottom of the stairs crying. Because he's tore up daddy's books and he can't do what daddy does. They said the daddy went over and he picked up the little boy. And then he picked up a book and he handed it to the little boy. And he picked up another book and he handed that to the little boy. And pretty soon the little boy's got all the books that he had to start with, holding them in his hand, and his help. Daddy's carrying the books and the boy. And one trip after another, up and down the stairs. Now, the load's heavier on Dad. He's carrying the little boy too. He's up the stairs. He's down the stairs. He's up the stairs. He's down the stairs. Finally, all the books are moved from the office to downstairs where Daddy wanted them. And he sets the little boy down. And he went, "I've done a good job, didn't I, Daddy?" "Yeah, you did, son." In his mind, he had done the work. He didn't do nothing. We can't do nothing. I went and heard Roger Buck preach Thursday night over at Brother Darrell Schubert's church in revival. And if anybody's ever striped me in a meeting, that boy did. And he preached, I'll not give you the message except one point that really got on me. And he preached on the point of rebellion. And it's like the sin of witchcraft, you know. And he gave an illustration. And I told him, I said, "I'm going to use that in a lot of places." He said, "Help yourself." He said he and Christy hadn't been married long. He's sitting at the table, and one of the boys, Nick, I think it was Nick, I'm telling and giving his name. He probably didn't want me to. He's sitting on the other side of the table. And he said he knocked the cup over and spilt some stuff on the table. "No big deal. I spill stuff." He said, "I knock cups over. If you've been around me long, you know I'm kind of clumsy." He said, I knocked stuff over. He said, "It wasn't no big deal." He told the boy, "Son," said, "pick that cup up before it all pours out on the table." And so the boy picked the cup up and looked at him and turned it over and poured the rest of it on the table. Rebellion. He said he suffered the wrath of Roger. And he's crying for Mama. And he said, "Mama's not going to do you any good. You are never going to do that again." It's what got me, Brother Jerry. He said he done it even though I was watching. I said, "My God. How many times have I done it, even though I knew you was watching? How many times I've been like the little boy? I know he's watching. This won't hurt nothing. I'll just pour it out, the rest of it out. I've got the cup in my hand. It's in my power to do what I want to do. Hey, God's watching me." Don't pour that out, Mike. Don't do that. Do it. "Yeah, but God, I've been a preaching for 3 weeks in a row. I'm going to do this." Don't you say that. Don't you say it. God, somebody needs to say it, and it's going to be me. Don't do it. I'm watching. If I'm watching, that means I know. And if I know, I'm going to rectify it. You do what I told you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. I didn't have to have a second invitation. Roger said, "Anybody need to pray?" I crawled up under the altar. I said, "Oh, God. Get the 2x4 out of my eye. You take care of the toothpicks. I'll take care of the 2x4. You get that out of my eye, Lord, so I can see clear. Help me, God, help me. I can't help nobody. If you don't help me, I can't help not one soul. Stand your feet, we're in a place up for me."
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.